Life Sketches, Chapter 28. Among the Churches in New England. Refreshed in spirit over the good result of our labor with the Battle Creek Church, which closed in October, 1867, we cheerfully joined Elder J. N. Andrews on a journey to Maine. On the way we held a meeting at Roosevelt, N. Y., October 26th and 27th. This meeting was one of hard labor, in which pointed testimonies were given. Confessions were made, followed by a general turning to the Lord on the part of backsliders and sinners. In Maine. Our labors in Maine commenced with the conference at Norridgewock, the 1st of November. The meeting was large. As usual, my husband and myself bore a plain and pointed testimony in favor of truth and proper church discipline, and against the different forms of error, confusion, fanaticism, and disorder naturally growing out of a want of such discipline. This testimony was especially applicable to the condition of things in Maine. Disorderly spirits who professed to observe the Sabbath were in rebellion and labored to diffuse the disaffection through the conference. In consequence of this spirit of rebellion, our work in Maine required 7 weeks of the most trying, laborious, and disagreeable toil. But as we left that state, we were comforted with the fact that all had confessed their rebellion, and that a few had been led to seek the Lord and embrace the truth. Perhaps I cannot better give an idea of our labors up to the time of the Vermont meeting than by copying a portion of a letter which I wrote to our son at Battle Creek, December 27, 1867. My dear son Edson, after our meeting closed at Topsham, Maine, we had an appointment at Westbrook, Maine, to meet the brethren from Portland and vicinity. We made our home with the kind family of Brother Martin. I was not able to sit up during the afternoon, but being urged to attend a meeting in the evening, I went to the schoolhouse, feeling that I had not strength to stand and address the people. The house was filled with deeply interested listeners. Brother Andrews opened the meeting and spoke a short time. Your father followed with remarks. I then arose and had spoken but a few words when I felt my strength renewed. All my feebleness seemed to leave me, and I spoke about 1 hour with perfect freedom. I felt inexpressible gratitude for this help from God at the very time when I so much needed it. On Wednesday evening I spoke with freedom nearly 2 hours. To have my strength so unexpectedly renewed, when I had felt completely exhausted before these two meetings, has been a source of great encouragement to me. Revival services at Washington, N.H. Our journey to Washington, N.H. was tedious. We found shelter at last at the good home of Brother C.K. Farnsworth. They did all they could for our comfort, and everything was arranged so that we could rest as much as possible. Sabbath your father spoke in the forenoon, and after an intermission of about 20 minutes I spoke, bearing a testimony of reproof for several. The meeting for the evening was appointed at Brother Farnsworth's. The next morning we attended meetings again in the meeting house. We were trying to bring those who professed the truth to see their state of dreadful darkness and backsliding before God, and to make humble confessions. Again we held an evening meeting at Brother Farnsworth's. The Lord helped Brother Andrews that night, as he dwelt upon the subject of suffering for Christ's sake. The case of Moses was mentioned, who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Hebrews 11 verses 24 to 26. Meeting commenced Monday at 10 a.m. Again the condition of the church was dwelt upon. With the most earnest entreaties we pleaded with them to be converted to God, and face right about. The Lord aided us in the work. Our morning meeting closed at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. All these hours we had been engaged, first one of us, then another, earnestly laboring for the unconverted youth. Tuesday evening I spoke an hour with great freedom. Brother Andrews talked in an earnest, touching manner. The Spirit of the Lord was in the meeting. Angels of God seemed drawing very near, driving back the evil angels. Minister and people wept like children. We felt that we had gained ground, and that the powers of darkness had given back. Our meeting closed well. We appointed still another meeting for the next day, commencing at 10 a.m. I spoke about an hour upon the humiliation and glorification of Christ. Then we commenced our labors for the youth. Parents had come to the meeting, bringing their children with them to receive the blessing. We pleaded earnestly with the children, until 13 arose and expressed a desire to be Christians. One young man, about 20 years old, walked 40 miles to see us and hear the truth. He had never professed religion, but took his stand on the Lord's side before he left. This was one of the very best of meetings. We parted with all with many tears, feeling the blessing of heaven resting upon us. In Vermont and New York, the meeting at West Ennisburg, VT, was one of deep interest. It seemed good to meet again with, and speak to, our old, tried friends in this state. A great and good work was done in a short time. These friends were generally poor, and toiling for the comforts of life where $1 is earned with more labor than two in the West, yet they were liberal with us. In no state have the brethren been truer to the cause than in old Vermont. Our next meeting was at Adams Center N.Y. It was a large gathering. There were several persons in and around this place whose cases had been shown me, for whom I felt the deepest interest. They were men of moral worth. Some were in positions of life which made the cross of the present truth heavy to bear, or at least they thought so. Others, who had reached the middle age of life, had been brought up from childhood to keep the Sabbath, but had not borne the cross of Christ. These were in a position where it seemed hard to move them. They needed to be shaken from relying on their good works, and to be brought to feel their lost condition without Christ. We could not give up these souls, and labored with our might to help them. They were at last moved, and I have since been made glad to hear from some of them, and good news respecting all of them. God is converting strong men of wealth, and bringing them into the ranks. If they would prosper in the Christian life, grow in grace, and at last reap a rich reward, they will have to use of their abundance to advance the cause of truth. Return to Michigan. After leaving Adams Center, we stayed for a few days at Rochester, and from that place came to Battle Creek, where we remained over Sabbath and first day. Thence we returned to our home in Greenville, where we spent the next Sabbath and first day with the brethren who assembled from different places.